As we were walking outside and smelling that good food, I said, it's going to be a short homily. I'm hungry. But in any event, we give the Lord thanks today for gathering us here. And a couple little announcements. Of course, we have the Oktoberfest after Mass. So hope to see everybody there. Good food, good people, good fun. We also have tomorrow at 6 o'clock on that green space, we'll have a pet blessing because Francis of Assisi's feast day is coming up real soon. And so we always will do the pet blessing right before that. So all animals are invited. I always say bring the cats especially because they kind of need an exorcism. I'm more, as you know, more kind of a dog person. But bring it all. Bring everybody. Third of all, in your pews you'll see little envelopes for disaster relief. That's for next weekend. You can take that with you and then bring a check or whatever next week. That's for Hurricane Florence relief that we will be, all the Catholic parishes in the country are kind of pitching in to offer help there. As you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars of damage, lots of lives ruined and so on. So it's an honor for us to be able to help as they rebuild. Recently, in the course of praying in my Liturgy of the Hours, which I pray five times a day, I stumbled upon a line from St. Paul in my midday prayer. It was from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And St. Paul tells the church in Colossae, dedicate yourselves to thankfulness. And then that came back because a few days ago during our Bible study that meets on Monday morning, we were talking about St. Paul and his kind of spirituality of gratitude. Because it seems that no matter what St. Paul went through, whether it was being separated from the people that he loved, or being in jail for long periods of time, or hunger, or the sword, no matter what he faced, St. Paul remained thankful to God. We were looking at that theme in the letter of the Philippians, which Paul wrote while he was rotting away in jail. He did not know where his next meal was coming from. And he writes this letter of gratitude to the church in Philippi. We have to be thankful no matter what is going on in our lives. I had a friend who was when I was in college, he lived on my floor. And I always say the Lord has a sense of humor because my freshman year, he put me on the sixth floor of the East Tower of Forest dorms at IU, which had a woman who became a nun, a guy became a Franciscan friar, and then I became a priest. But there was also this Jew who was there. And this Jew was a great guy. And I learned a few things from him. Apparently, there's an adage among Jews. A good Jew thanks God 100 times every day. And I thought, that's good adage. We ought to adopt that as Christians. We ought to give God thanks at least 100 times a day. There's a lot of things I can say about gratitude. I was thinking about the Chinese philosopher Confucius, who said, I was complaining that I didn't have any shoes, and then I found a man who had no feet. Meister Eckhart said that if the only prayer a man ever utters in his life is thank you, he said, I wonder if that might just be enough. Gratitude makes our lives and the lives of those that have to deal with us and the entire life of the world a much, much better place. This evening, I would like to take a bit of a different tactic as we seek to kind of understand and implement this spirituality of gratitude into our lives. I'd like to reflect on this with you if I could. What am I thankful for in my life as a priest? I'm thankful for a few things. A lot of things, actually. I'm very thankful for our youth. Our first reading today tells us how the Spirit falls upon Moses and these 70 elders and then this guy named Eldad and Medad. And the Spirit falls upon them and it strengthens them. It gives them the desire and the strength to go out and to spread the news of God and to tell people to shape up and be faithful and that it's worth it to live a good life. And so the Spirit falls upon them and gives them this desire and this strength. And that's what happened. We had 60 high schoolers from St. Vincent and St. Joe who on Wednesday the Spirit fell upon them at the cathedral. It was their confirmation day. And Moses tells in our first reading, he says, "Would that everybody were a prophet." You know, and 60 of our kids, we celebrate that 60 of our high schoolers became prophets and kings and all these things at their confirmation last week. Now, I wish you could all know just how wonderful our youth are. Maybe you do know, but they are sinners and they are people that make a lot of mistakes, but there is so much good in them. You know, I hear their confessions. I see them on mission trips and at youth group. I read their letters to the Archbishop about how much their faith matters to them. I am deeply thankful for our youth, and I want you to know how much faith and goodness they have in them, and how blessed we are to have them as members of our family. The Archbishop said at their confirmation, he said a lot of good things, but he said, "You know, there's so much that's wrong in the church these days with a bunch of sinners, but," he says, "these young people give witness to what is right with it and the beautiful future that we have." And so I'm thankful for our youth. I'm also thankful for confession. I'm thankful that God has a way of dealing with our sins that doesn't involve the chopping off of limbs as described in our gospel today. I went to confession the other day and I gave over my sins to the priest and he gave me my penance. And I told him that I would do all that I could do not to pray half-heartedly and rapidly in the future. Then I went on my way. Confession is one of those things that you know it's true. You know it works because you can feel it in the marrow of your bones. And I'm thankful for this sacrament. Our sins are tied up. It dawned on me that our sins are tied up with our state in life. Sin for me is neglecting my priesthood, and sanctity is fully living it. That is the same for any state in life. A husband and wife, for example, sin for them is neglecting their marital vocation, and sanctity is fully living it. It is true for all the people in our lives that we have been called to serve and love, that the more we are thankful for them, the better we are to them. The more that we're thankful to God for the people in our lives, the better we are to them. I'm thankful for the gift of time. The reading at Mass, at school Mass the other day, was from Ecclesiastes. I love Ecclesiastes. You know the bird song, turn, turn, turn. It was inspired, of course, by this: a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot the plant, a time to tear down, a time to heal, a time to build, a time, etc. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. There is time. And we should be thankful for every second of it. It's a good thing to fill our time with God and one another and not waste it pursuing the things that St. James mentions in our second reading today. He says that wealth rots away, clothes become moth-eaten, and your gold and your silver will corrode. Everything falls apart and disintegrates except love, except each other. It's a good thing to spend our lives reverencing that and putting our time into love. I think if we're thankful for our time, we tend to use it a little bit better. You know, the average American spends 7 years watching television. Holy smokes. I'm thankful for a lot of things, and I could keep going. I'm thankful for our heavenly patrons. You know, today's my feast day, St. Michael. I'm also thankful for St. Vincent de Paul. It was his feast day just a few days ago on Thursday. I'm thankful that Mary's month starts in 2 days. I'm thankful for the weather and the fall, the Oktoberfest, and so on. But I want to end just with this. I'm thankful for being a priest and for this parish and its people. The other day, a second grader, it was recess time, and he came up to me and he hugged me and he says, he looks up Mauricio and he says, "I'm so glad you're a priest." And it was the most wonderful thing. And I thought, and I said to him, "Me too." Because there is so much joy in this life. There is joy, even with the blah that is a natural part of all of our lives. You know, most nights I rest in my bed and my heart smiles, because I bet St. Paul's did too. Because there are so many people in this world to love, and so many people to be loved by. God has given me a vocation that gets me out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and has me praying and running and talking and teaching and lecturing and joking and bellyaching all day long until about 11 o'clock or midnight. He has made me love it. He has made me love him through it. There are so many blessings in this life, and a spirituality of gratitude recognizes that. This type of spirituality of gratitude, it's a way of looking at life, a way of life, where thanking God 100 times isn't enough, because it's just so natural and automatic that with every breath we thank him. The opposite of gratitude is probably complaining about everything. We seem to live in a culture where that is the norm. This reflection on thankfulness, I think it nicely leads us to our primary act of worship, which is the Eucharist, which comes from the Greek word for thanksgiving. Preeminently, it is the gratitude that we feel for Jesus and his atoning sacrifice at Calvary, which is made present at the Mass. From Jesus, from that sacrifice which he made, for which we are so grateful, all good things come. And so let us go to his altar with gratitude in our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.